Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
Let's get rocking!
It's time for the Metal Groove.
We're fighters for truth, justice, and the American way.
A podcast dedicated to music.
Party on, dude!
Extreme close up!
Here's your metal host.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Tombstone Josh.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Metal Groove Podcast. It's going to be an awesome one today. Have some dudes joining me on the show that just played here in Charleston, South Carolina. Super stoked to have them on. But right now, joining me is Marty from a band called The Lonely Ones. What's up, my friend? How are you doing?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm awesome, dude. I'm awesome. How did Somerville treat you guys?
Awesome. It was actually really great. It's been a minute since we've been down there, probably a year. Crowds were good. People that didn't know us were instantly drawn to us. I think there's something about the South and the Lonely Ones. It's got this happy little relationship starting. So it's nice to be able to get back out on the road and tour. And we're definitely going to concentrate on North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Atlanta, and just go down there and attack those places until we're selling places out on
cool,
Wednesday.
Man. Gotcha. Where are you guys based out of?
Columbus, Ohio.
Nice, man. Columbus, Ohio. Sweet, man. The big sports town up there. Are you into sports?
I'm not into sports, but I'm surrounded by Ohio State. I'm from West Virginia, and so is Tommy, our drummer. But we moved to Ohio, and it's insane how Ohio State fans, I remember the first time I came up here and was watching the news, and it said, if you're coming in from Michigan, remove the license plates off your car and the flags off your car. And this was the police on the news telling you to remove your license plates off your car. I was like, it's a bit much, guys. I hear the Alabama-Auburn rivalry is kind of the same.
Yeah, we have a crazy one here. We got South Carolina-Clemson that gets kind of out of hand, but, you know, hey.
Yeah, you're right.
People take that stuff seriously. But I saw you guys were coming here. You guys shared the stage with some pals of mine in a band called Wicked Love.
Oh, yeah.
How did that show go, man?
It was really good. There was a band on first. What were they called? Something Galaxy. They were really strange and cool. It was kind of like Styx, Mr. Roboto era Styx kind of stuff. And it was really interesting. What were they called? Something Galaxy. And then we went on, and then Wicked Love went on. And it was really cool. It was a rock and roll show. All the bands were cool rock and cool guitar tones, and the crowd was really receptive.
Nice.
It was a smaller venue that I'd never been to before, and everybody was great. And then when we played, like, people came from outside and from the other side of the bar and everywhere, and this crowd filled in, and I was like, this is a good sign. I think maybe we might be onto something here.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet venue they got over there as well. My buddy, somebody I trust incredibly well in his music taste, Callie, he said you guys were the real deal. You know what I mean? If he says that, I trust it. I know it. I've been listening to the songs, and I can't agree more, man. You guys are awesome.
All right, man. I appreciate that. Tell him thank you very much.
All right. So I'm stoked you were able to make this happen. Like I said, I was digging through the catalog, been listening to the songs. But first, why don't you tell us about yourself, man? Have you always been into music?
Yeah. I started playing music when I was 8 years old. I should be a lot better at it by now, actually. my dad was a bluegrass musician, and I grew up literally surrounded by music. I would sit in my diapers in the middle of the floor, and the bluegrass musicians would be in a circle, and I would just sit there all night listening to them play, and everybody would switch off singing and switch instruments, and that's kind of what got me into playing music. Then I realized how hard bluegrass was, and saw rock and roll bar chords, and I was like, that's what I'm going to do. So I got into, Appetite for Destruction was probably the first record that changed my life.
And got then along, can you see him? Can you see him?
Great record, and then, I come up in the era of Injustice for All was a record that changed my life, and then the Black Album you know, I know that metal elitists think it's not a great record, but it's one of the greatest records ever written.
Yeah.
Then I have my Tool. I discovered Tool and Pink Floyd and just kind of just have been a music lover ever since. And I knew kind of at 8 years old, I got my first guitar and I never put it down. And I just knew that that's what I wanted to do. And fortunately, I've been lucky enough to be able to do that.
Okay. You kind of brought up something that reminded me. It's something I have here in my notes that I wanted to ask. And you named both of the bands already. One of the things I love, it's rare for me to hear a band and be like, yes, that is, you know, here we go. And diversity is key for me. Like if I hear a band that can do a lot of different things really well, I'm into it, man. You got me hooked. And I thought immediately I heard a little bit of Pink Floyd. I heard a little bit of Tool. You can hear everything in what you guys are trying to do. And you brought them up. So I'm glad we had that. Well, I mean, you write the music, but mutually, that's what I thought of whenever I was listening to the songs. But you guys have a bunch of different sounds. Is that what you guys go for?
No, Jimmy's really into the Rolling Stones and Thin Lizzy. Tommy, our drummer, is more like he's into like Celtic Frost and Iron Maiden and Meshuggah. And then our bass player, True, his favorite band is The Strokes.
Okay.
So when you just get in a room together and you write, things just, I never like, let's write a Pink Floyd song or anything like that. We just kind of, just the writing environment is such an open environment that everybody has an opinion and everybody's allowed to have an opinion. You know, so it's just kind of just happens that way. And I like the peaks and valleys of, you know, all those bands. It's like, I like when you hit it heavy, it's heavy. And when you hit it light, it's pretty. We rehearse a lot so that, you know, when we're writing songs, we're thinking about every millisecond of every song and trying to tighten it up, make it better, make sure that we're exploding together to right points and bringing it down to right points. And I think I'm really happy with the way things are going. And I'm really happy with how creative everybody is and how open everybody is and how, you know, everybody in this band, the word that we use is fuck it, try it.
Right on, man. I dig that, man. It feels like a stew. Like if you have all those great ingredients for a stew and it mixes together well, you have a pretty kick-ass band and you guys have some great songs coming out of that. I love how you can have a hard rocking song and then out of nowhere, it just kind of fades into this kind of just mellow, chill vibe before the song picks back. You guys have a couple of them like that.
Yeah, those are kind of my favorite songs, you know? Like, I like it to, you know, feel like a ride, man. I mean, I definitely have my moments where I want to listen to just a full blast insane metal song that never stops from beginning to end, but I'm not that kind of singer. I'm not that kind of guitar player. So when I'm writing, my strengths come out and I try to hide my weaknesses and this is what happens.
Cool, man. I dig it. All right. So since we jumped ahead a little bit, let's backtrack some. The band's been around since what, 2019?
Yes.
Yeah. Was it a fresh thing or did it spawn from something else?
We used to be in a band called Boba Flex. So myself, Jimmy and Tommy were in this band called Boba Flex, and Boba Flex kind of took a indefinite hiatus, I guess, because my brother, who was also in the band, his daughter turned 13 and he wanted to spend more time at home. Gotcha. Great dad. And it just, you know, when you're in a touring rock band and, the 2000s era, with Spotify and all that stuff, it's like you're not making millions of dollars unless you're out there working and working and working. It's like a construction company. If you want to make some money, you got to go, you know, pour some concrete and build some houses. So
yeah, right.
It's the concept. So we were working constantly. I mean, we were doing 200 shows a year, and that doesn't count studio time or radio interviews or travel days. So we were gone a lot. And at some point in time, he's like, "Hey guys, you know, I'm missing piano recitals and volleyball games and she's going to be learning how to drive here soon. And I, you know, we live in a city, so I'm definitely teaching her how to do that." And so that's, you know, and it didn't feel like Boba Flex without him. So
gotcha.
We were, you know, we had Jimmy, Tommy and I had been through so many things together. It was just natural to continue, start a different band, go in a different direction, but we had played together so much that, I mean, it didn't make any sense to play with anybody else. So we're like, let's try something fresh, something new. It's scary at first, but also exciting. And this is what you get.
Awesome, man. Awesome. I like that. It's a good dynamic. So you guys played here, like I said, did you get to hang out for a little while or were you guys in and out?
Oh, we hung out. We got in early, got into the Planet Fitness, got to see a couple things. I forget what we did. But we always come in pretty early during the day, hang out all day, go to sound check, usually around 2-3, and then hung out the rest of the night, leave in the morning. So we got to see a little bit, got some nice weather, got right. You know, treated well with the Southern hospitality. So it was cool.
Oh, man, did you get some barbecue? What'd you guys eat?
I always get barbecue. Anytime I'm down south, I'm trying to barbecue.
Charlie, that venue is down the street from Swig and Swine. Did you guys go there?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. That place is good. I'm a novice cook myself, so I'm always trying, like, the areas. You know, if you're in that area, they're always like, we're famous for this, so you have to try this. So even if something I think sounds gross, I'll eat it just to experience the whole thing.
Cool, man. All right, so let's talk about these songs. Whenever I was digging through the catalog, I seen it was a bunch of singles. Is that something you guys were aiming to do, or are they all going to build to an album, or are you guys going to write a different album?
We have unheard 17 songs that are unheard right now that are unreleased. Being a new band, I don't know if an album makes sense. I get this question quite often, so I have a pretty well-rehearsed answer at this point. Being a new band, releasing, you know, with social media and how fast everything's moving and people cherry-picking singles off records and stuff, you know, if we were Shinedown status and that big, I think it would make more sense for us to release a record that people are waiting for. But we're at that point where we're trying to gain awareness. So the best thing for us financially and attention span-wise is to release a new single every 2 months.
Nice.
So that you can't get away from us. And I've done it myself. A band puts something out, I'm like, that's pretty cool, scroll on by. And then I see it again, that's pretty cool, scroll on by. And you keep seeing stuff and go, you know what, I'm actually going to hit that button and see what this band's all about. So I think we're in that stage where you just have to bombard people where they finally go, all right, already, I'll check you out and make their decision there. But to get them to that point to make that decision, I don't think we're like, hey, surprise, we released a record. Hope you guys like it. And you know, 8 million people get it. You know, like Avenged Sevenfold can do that. We cannot do that yet.
I want to say, I can't remember what band it was or if it was just a solo artist, but I felt like he said that might be the way to go from now on is just release singles. Same reason. Saying, you know what I mean? You don't have to put all that work into an album. Just drop a single, see how it does, and then build from there. So,
you can take more time that way with the songs. You can, to be honest, I don't like that plan, but that's just the way the music industry is. And I do the same thing. You know, I would be hypocritical if I said, you know, people don't buy records anymore, because I don't either. I do the same thing. If I'm watching a TV show and a song comes on, I ask my friend, who's this artist? And, and it tells me, and I put that on my playlist. And then, you know, if I really like that song, it pops up on my playlist randomly here and there, because you forget about things. You're bombarded with so much information. If that song pops up a couple times, then I'll go and check that artist out and then really start getting into it. But it's that door you have to break through, which is short attention spans. This is the new, you know, this is how we discover things. We on TikTok or whatever, we scroll and you got to grab somebody's attention. And even if you grab their attention, I remember the statistic was someone has to hear your song 12 times on the radio before they can put the name of the band to the song. So you just gotta, you know, you gotta beat people over the head with. It's like trying to teach somebody algebra. You gotta keep tutoring them until it catches on. So, and I'm the same way. You know, I've done it where I've slept on bands. I was like, who the hell is this? And like, you've never heard of this band? And I go look, and there's 10,000 people at their show. And I'm like, how did I miss this? So, what happened was it just kept popping up and kept popping up. And I was like, I think that's a catchy little song. Check it out. And then there's a whole new world opened up. So I'm just trying to get people into that world. And I think singles are the way to do it right now.
Yeah, singles and then word of mouth. Like I said, finding out that you guys were coming here is how I found out about the band. I was pretty stoked about it. So there's two songs. Okay, we're playing one song at the end of the show. It's the one you guys are pushing. I believe it's called Bedroom Door, right?
Yes.
Okay, but there's two songs that grab my attention. I'm going to talk about the first one. That's called, I think it's called Getting High, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I really love that song. That song got me from the beginning. I love the song all the way through. So tell me a little bit about that song and the sound of that sound that you guys were going for there.
So the riff kind of sounds like this kind of country southern vibe, mm-hmm. Which I love being from West Virginia. It's got this kind of, you know, bluegrassy kind of, you know, stomp your foot, yee-haw kind of vibe. And
yeah,
it put me into this mode. The area that I grew up in was this wonderful small town where you didn't have to lock your doors and everything was magical. And then this drug called Oxycontin came through and just wiped everything out. And it was unfair. You know, it came through, it's non-addictive. We're giving it to people for, started out terminally ill cancer patients. And then all of a sudden they're giving it to people for migraines and stub toes and shit like that. And it just came through and just demolished my area where, like I said, you used to not have to lock your doors, and it turned into you had to have your gun loaded beside your, bedspan because people are just going nuts. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, a lot of that wasn't people's faults. They got sold a false bill of goods that this is, you know, this wonder drug, and it just ravaged the area. So when that riff hit, that's what it reminded me of, was like,
okay,
you know, and so it was just, that was really important to me. And it was a really big part of my life. I never got into the stuff. I remember a friend of mine's like, hey, try this. It's just like heroin. I go, that sounds terrible. My friend is no longer on the planet.
Oh no.
Yeah, it happened a lot. And it got so bad. I remember when it happened, it was the kids that you thought it would happen to. And then a year later, it's the doctors and lawyers and teachers are nodding off in class, and cops are passed out behind the wheel, and it just swept everybody. So to me, it was something really important to get off my chest. And then, you know, the things that you learn about addiction, because I've struggled with alcohol and things like that. And we used to look at these people like, oh, stupid junkies. Like, that's a real human. And these are real problems. And people can get swept up in that shit so easily that that song kind of looks at people a little bit, you know, instead of, oh, you're this horrible person. It's like, I don't know. It was a different take on it. It was like a little more human of a take. Like, and it comes from the side of someone that is sober trying to tell somebody, hey, man, stop doing this, but it ain't that fucking easy.
Yeah, I got you. It's got some deep meaning behind it. I didn't even know that, man. That's a great story. I'm glad you shared it with me.
Thanks, man.
So the other song that really stuck out to me, I have a theory. Maybe you'll go with me on this, maybe you won't. But I'm going to kind of see if this thing will pan a little bit. I'm a musician. I'm into metal, hard rock. I feel like there's an element of nerd to every metal musician, okay? So you can tell me if I'm wrong here. But another song that grabbed my attention, pretty much because of the logo, was the song Flash.
Yeah.
Is it about the superhero? It's got to be about superhero, right?
It's a Queen cover.
Oh, is it? Okay. See, look, I was wrong. All right, then.
Yeah, okay. but it's Flash Gordon. They did it's Flash Gordon.
Oh.
So Queen did the soundtrack for the Flash Gordon movie back in the 80s. It's incredible. But Flash Gordon is a comic book. And he's the, you know, he's the New York Jets quarterback who saves the world from being the merciless. And so it's a Queen cover. And the coolest thing that's ever happened to me in my life is that song our cover got all the way to Brian May. And Brian May reached out to us and told us how cool it was. And that was one of the coolest musical moments of my life, where Brian May's like, hey, this is awesome. Really great job. I love how you did the turnaround. I love how you did this and that. And I was just like, holy shit, is this really happening? So yeah, that was cool. Yeah, but check out the original, the Queen. So they did the entire soundtrack for Flash Gordon, and it's incredible.
Wow. Because okay, well then I guess I kind of took my question a little differently. Do you have an element of nerd to you, or is there anything like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
I'm a nerd in disguise. I just got lucky and got cool hair.
I hear you, man. That's awesome. So, all right. So we were just talking about the songs that you have out as singles. You guys plan to keep on touring, like you were saying. What's happening? What's up? What's going to be going on in the near future for you guys?
So we're off for the rest of the year, just because COVID happened. And then when COVID lifted, every band felt the exact same way that we felt. So we got to go tour. So it kind of bottlenecked out there. Every band in the country is trying to play, you know, the station on a Thursday. And,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of opening back up. So we're off for the rest of the year. We're going to get back into rehearsal. We're going to shoot some videos, start gearing up, releasing singles. We're going to try to release singles at rapid fire, at least one every 2 months with the video, lyric videos, all that stuff, which is a lot of behind the scenes fun work, but really busy, take a lot of time work. And then hit the ground running in January. So we're going to go through the Midwest. We got a lot of festivals going on through the Midwest, but the Midwest is freezing cold, so we're concentrating on coming back down south during the winter and then west and Midwest during the summer.
Cool, man. Good stuff. All right, so I like to end my show or kind of wind it down with some random questions I'm going to throw at you. So if you're all ready, sir.
I am.
All right, best band you've ever seen live?
Tool, 1997 at Ozfest.
Okay, cool, man. That's the second time I've gotten that answer. Why? What about their show blew you away?
So he came out, Maynard came out dressed like Madonna from the 90s with this.
What?
And I took my brother, who wasn't really into Tool. And this was 1997. I was poor. I mowed lawns and did all this stuff to buy two tickets for me and my brother. I didn't have enough money to even get anything to drink.
Wow.
When we were there, I wasn't old enough to drink and I couldn't even buy water because this was like the year when water started being $4 a bottle at a concert. And so Maynard comes out on stage in a bra, spandex pants, high heels this high, like this white face paint with the lips and then a ponytail that went all the way down his back. So he looked like the I guess, different alternate universe Madonna.
Okay.
And the rest of the band was painted blue. And my brother, he walks out on stage. My brother's like, who the hell is that? I'm like, just wait. And they crack into Hooker with a Penis and the place goes insane. And people start throwing the sod and it blacks out the sky. And I'm standing there. I don't know if you've ever been to Ozfest, but it starts early and it is hotter than hell and it's in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm having like a spiritual moment because I'm about to pass out from the heat and I'm watching my favorite band play for the first time. I've never seen them before. And I'm having like this out of body experience because of the music and because of the heat and the dehydration and this sod's flying. And I felt like this, and they were so good. They were so tight. This massive powerhouse of a band. I felt like the earth, I had this weird vision. The earth was going to open up and swallow everybody. And that this band was tapping into some kind of dark power. And I've never seen anything like that since.
Hey, there would have been nowhere else in the world you'd rather have been than right there going down.
Right there. I was like, if it's going to swallow us up, I mean, this was meant to be. And so my brother was after the show, he was the same way. He's like, he wasn't even a fan. And after that, he was like, that's the best band I've ever seen in my life. And we still talk about it. And he still says it may be the number one performance I have ever seen and will ever see.
Wow, that's incredible, man. Good answer. I love it. We like to talk movies sometimes on the show. Do you have a favorite movie based around music or a band, whether it's fact or fiction?
I think the Foo Fighters documentary is probably one of the best documentaries ever. I had my documentary phase. I had my comic book phase. I think the Queen movie is really good. Bohemian Rhapsody. I'm a huge movie buff. But I would say my favorite movie that is probably The Wolf of Wall Street. I watched it like a Barney movie.
That's
like,
a good one.
Yeah. For like the first year that it came out, I just put it on constantly. My girlfriend's into wild horror movies, so she's turned me on to some pretty cool genre stuff. There's a bunch of really cool new horror movies coming out that are different and unpredictable, like The Witch and Hereditary and Midsommar. And so, I'm a huge movie buff, but if I had to put it around music, I would say that Foo Fighters documentary is probably the best documentary in a long time. I hear Pearl Jam 10 is really good, too.
Oh, nice, man. I haven't seen that one. I want to, though. The new... Violent Night, the new Santa Claus Christmas movie with
Hopper. Oh, yeah.
I keep hearing that's really good, man. I need to check that out.
I have not seen it yet. I'm dying to watch the new movie. It's called Smile. It's out now.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's streaming. Yeah. My kids were watching it the other night. It's like, wow, man.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. And I'm really surprised that I liked the show Wednesday so much. It's really good.
Yeah. That's been a big hit, man. That's been really good. I was pleasantly surprised with that one.
I did a couple of the song grabs, like, what is that song? And like, what was the Laura Wolf, some band? It was called Laura Wolf, I think. I'll look it up. There was just a bunch of really great songs on it. I really enjoyed that series. It's. I mean, we live in the future, man. You can watch, all these series keep coming out and all these great things are happening. It's like, that's why you got to release singles because you're competing with Wednesday.
I hear you, man. All right, so... I'm going to guess it's Tool, maybe, maybe not. But if you could go on tour with any band, who would it be?
Right now, probably Royal Blood.
Sweet, man. They are awesome.
I love that band. And I think our band's kind of leaning in that dancey kind of rock direction. Just
okay. Yeah, I get that.
Somebody else is at control of the wheel and it's just heading in that direction. And I love that kind of feel good, like that groove kind of rock. And I really like what Royal Blood's doing. I really like, you know, that kind of genre right now is that just, you just can't help but dance, just make you dance.
All right, cool. All right. Last one I got before we wrap this bad boy up. I've asked it to everybody and it seems like every musician has the same answer to it. But there's a quote from a movie back in the day where they're talking about going to see a show. And he looks at him, he says, man, you're not wearing the band of the shirt to the concert. You're going to see that band, are you? So that is my question. How do you feel about that topic? Would you wear the shirt of the band you're going to see?
Is that Detroit Rock City?
It's PCU.
PCU. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was wearing a shirt. I thought the coolest thing ever was we played with Bret Michaels one time. And he had his own damn shirt on at his own show. And I was like, and he had it with such confidence. I was like, all right, yeah, cool. I dig it.
Yeah,
talking about absolutely. Absolutely.
The singer of Any Given Sin, he said he was on and he was saying, yeah, man, why not? He said he'd do it. He said sometimes when they're on a long streak, they don't have time to do laundry. He said, I got no problem wearing my own gear on stage either. So,
yeah.
Cool, man. I did. Yeah.
People go, what band do you have to go? Right here. Walking billboard. Yeah, I dig it. I wear, I usually don't wear many logos because I just don't. But yeah, I would wear band shirt to the show. I definitely buy a shirt to the show too. Maybe put it on right there.
Right on, man. Cool. So we're gonna be playing the song Bedroom Door. Why don't you tell us about that song?
So that song has a double meaning, which I thought was really interesting. If you find me attractive, then that song is sexy and very dominant and push me against the wall and kiss me.
Nice.
If you don't find me attractive, it's very creepy and predatory. It depends on how the listener feels about that situation. It's like if you're Brad Pitt, and you say he pushed me against the wall and kissed me passionately. And if you're, me, they go, ooh, he pushed me against the wall and tried to kiss me. It's awful.
All right. Cool, man. Well, we're going to be playing that song right now. Why don't you go ahead and tell these folks where they can find all your stuff, where they can grab some merch, maybe just keep up with everything going on with you guys.
So you type in the Lonely Ones. We got the blue check and the cool hair. You'll recognize us. We're certified. So anytime you type in the Lonely Ones at Google, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, we're going to be the ones that pop up. And you can grab our merch online. We have several different things online. We have ship to order stuff that's exclusive online. We have things that are on tour, but also with us that we ship off Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, all the places, the kids, all these streaming sites. That's where we're at. So if you go to that World Wide Web thing that's up in the sky, you can find us pretty easily.
Cool, man. So before we get out of here, the Lonely Ones, what's that name about? Where did it come from? Was it just on a whim?
It was that point in time in my life. I was going through some shit and it felt like everyone was just like, so when you're on the road so much, you come home and everything's changed. And, you know, there's this store is closed and this person's died and this person's married and this person's moved away. And you just kind of lose touch with everything around you. And it just, at that time, it felt very lonely and like, you know, being a musician, it just made perfect sense. I said it out loud and the guys were like, that makes perfect sense. Let's use that.
I dig it, man. You guys got a sweet logo too. But this was Marty from the band The Lonely Ones. It was an absolute pleasure hanging out with you, dude. Man, you guys are awesome. I hope you guys come back soon. Rock some more stages down here in Charleston, South Carolina, dude.
Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, brother, man. Peace out. Have a good night. We wrap up all these shows by stay metal.
Oh, shit. Stay metal. I did the peace sign. Stay metal, man.
You got it, man. All right, dude. Take care.
Just enough to burn me alive.
The show for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Hey, be a friend, tell a friend. Please like and share this and join us over at the Thrill Me Podcast Network on Facebook and YouTube. Be sure to check out Honor's Podcast, The Review at Rob Show, The Mr. Wonderful Show, and Zach's Speakeasy as well. This incredible lineup is brought to you by the Thrill Me Podcast Network. And hey, until next time, stay metal.